Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
But we must do a quick gear change now because, of course, that unbelievable news overnight. It's nearly a month since Joe Biden, he showed up at that debate that he called for in the US elections, and he looked like he'd forgotten why he walked into the room. And he's finally gone. Lorcan Nyhan, who is our man on the US elections. Thanks a million for joining us again, Lorcan. I mean, you can't switch off for a second in this election. Something dramatic happens.
No, I mean, yeah, 26 days since that debate, and it's just been constant news on it. And look, as you said, Joe Biden, it was kicking and screaming in the end. He raged against the dying of the light as long as he possibly could. A lot of the statements now are talking about, you know, how such leadership to walk away. He did not want to walk away. Yeah. Like, he was told in private that, you know, he should go, and then he waited for the call to get public, and it became inevitable, really, and yet still so surprising to see this late in the race him finally deciding, look, I can't run, and obviously throwing the support behind Kamala Harris.
I mean, people knew immediately that this was over, wasn't it? In the debate, when he shambled through it, couldn't get to the end of sentences, seemed to be totally lost.
It was probably he was really, really up against it before the debate. The age thing had become, I think, insurmountable before the debate. Mm. And then when that debate happened, those answers, the almost like meandering, he forgot ends of sentences. It was as bad as it could have been. It was done then. He just needed to slowly realise it. And he had to be convinced, I think, that the polling now showed that he didn't have a chance anymore, or is very small. That's apparently what he is saying is the reason why, is that he was convinced by the polling ultimately. But it was done. Once that debate happened, his chances of beating Trump were finished. It was so obvious that even the Democrats, who could be overly cautious, realised we've got to act.
They were afraid to hurt his feelings, really, weren't they? I want to bring people back because it's literally a 30 seconds thing. I remember the day after. You said it was 26 days ago. And that's a lot of time to be wasting in a presidential campaign. But this is a moment for a man who's had such an unbelievable career. You know, the tragedy of his life with the car crash that killed his wife and the little girl. And then he raises two kids himself. They called him Amtrak Joe because he was up and down, wasn't he, from Washington to the kids. Obviously, he loses Beau Biden. And then his other son, Hunter, he's heading to jail, isn't he? Like, when you look at the more enormous legacy and what he did, defeating Trump is his greatest thing, isn't it? The moment in the debate, 30 seconds, it really ended here.
Make sure that all those things we need to do, child care, elder care, making sure that we continue to strengthen our health care system, making sure that we're able to make every single solitary person eligible for what I've been able to do with dealing with everything we have to do with, look, if we finally beat Medicare.
Oof. Thank you, President Biden. President Trump
was right. He did beat Medicaid. Beat it to death.
That was it.
We're done. Done at that stage. And the fact that it's taken this long is just, look, his resilience in the face of adversity has been his defining characteristic, but it started to count against him ultimately because he was resilient, but he was resilient in the face of the inevitable, and he should have walked away a little earlier. Now, I think the timing has actually ultimately worked out quite well for the Democrats.
Okay.
Because he's lasted long enough that the question was still there during the Republican convention, which meant the Republican convention couldn't laser in on the replacement.
Yes.
And so probably lost a chance maybe to frame the opponent on their own terms. Now, they looked into that situation, but I think it has ultimately been lucky that he resisted this long, because now, you know, the Democratic convention in August will be a free run at defining whoever the eventual candidate will be, even though I think it's relatively obvious who the candidate will be at this stage.
Before we just go to that, is his legacy, what is Joe Biden's legacy?
His legacy, I think you're right, will be beating Trump.
Yeah, I hope that's it, because it looks pretty shabby otherwise, isn't it?
Yeah, well, look, it was a very, very long career that he's had. I think his legacy will be beating Trump, and his legacy will be that he was right, that he should have run in 2016 because he probably would have beaten him then. I think that will be his electoral legacy. Yeah. He will say he's been incredibly successful in terms of the domestic policy that he's had, and he has been, because he actually got some Republicans to vote with him, big infrastructure acts in America that will be felt for quite some time. Yeah. He would also
see the building of
NATO. Look, I think some of his foreign policy decisions won't actually age that well. Yeah. He would see himself as a foreign policy kind of behemoth. But I'm not sure how well, you know, the withdrawal from Afghanistan.
Ukraine would be good, but obviously Afghanistan was a total disaster, and his handling of Gaza, catastrophic for those unfortunate people. And it would almost be no different under Trump, really, wouldn't it? So that's
it would probably be significantly worse under Trump, and particularly around Ukraine would be significantly worse under Trump. But his legacy will be that he beat Trump and that he finally walked away.
I think that's it. Yeah, the good thing. Well, it's like Leo Varadkar. The one good thing you could do is leave. That's how unpopular you are. Come here. Is it looking very obvious that it's Kamala Harris?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it's been kind of obvious for quite some time that if Biden did walk away, that they're not going to move around their vice president, that in the timeline that they have with the optics of moving around a female vice president, a black vice president, I don't think anybody serious is going to challenge her. They've raised a phenomenal amount of money in the first 12 hours of the campaign.
$200,000 an hour the minute he went.
The most impressive fundraising they've had since, I think the 2020, one of the days in 2020. So I think it is going to be her. I can't see any path it won't be. Like, a lot of the heavy hitters have come out and have endorsed her. You've even already got delegate groupings coming out and saying we're going to vote for her at the convention. It's going to be a coronation, probably dressed up as a bit of a contest for a while to make it seem like they are doing their due diligence.
Yeah.
But I can't see any other path. I think it's Trump Harris 2024.
So she just has to pick a veep then at this stage, isn't she, a nomination?
Yeah, yeah.
What will he do with Joe Biden? Will he just disappear for the campaign, put him into a cupboard somewhere, even though he's going to be president still until the end of January next year?
Yeah, I thought in his statement they probably made a mistake by not picking to reference one or two things that he's going to focus his energies on. Like when Lyndon Johnson resigned in relatively similar circumstances, he resigned saying, look, it's because I want to focus on, the Vietnam and ending Vietnam and fixing that. Now, obviously, that didn't go overly well, but at least gave it an excuse. While now, there's an element of Joe Biden. Like, what are you focused on? Like, it's probably going
to be Ukraine,
like, effectively.
Right.
And I reckon what they'll probably do, roll him out for a few fundraisers immediately.
Quite literally, roll him.
Bring him out for a few. He'll then go away for a while, and then he'll appear intermittently every once in a while.
So
but they're
sad.
Not going to want to remind people of Joe Biden.
Oh my
they're
God,
going to
so
want to use his legacy and we love the man, but they're not going to remind people of him, because it's just going to link his VP to him. And geez, what did you know? What did you not know? So yeah, he'll do a few fundraisers and he'll be gone, I'd say.
But like Kamala Harris, she's a bit of an idiot, isn't she?
She's not. She gets dressed up as that to a degree. She gets painted as that to a degree. She's not. She is a serious politician. She was a serious AG in California. Her biggest moment was her questioning of Brett Kavanaugh for the Supreme Court nomination,
mm-hmm.
where she did challenge him very, very well, kind of stumped him with the question of, can you name any law where the state or the government has a role in men's health? And he wasn't able to.
Okay.
So she is a very serious politician.
Yeah. She's a lawyer.
But she obviously, look, she gets painted as one thing or the other. She'll be able to define herself now on her own terms. I don't think we know what her definition is going to be or what people are going to think of her.
She hasn't really done anything as a vice president, really, has she?
No, and that's...
She was put in charge of immigration, which I'm sure they'll hammer over now shortly.
Yeah, so she's got that issue in that she was put in charge of some of the relationships with the countries around the border, and that's obviously not an issue that has played well for the Joe Biden presidency. So that is an issue for her. She hasn't done a huge amount as vice president because it's not possible to do a huge amount as vice president unless the president kind of pushes you forward or brings you in.
Yeah.
And Joe Biden, I think because he was worried about the optics of his own candidacy, wasn't bringing his VP with him very, very often. So it's very difficult. But I think every vice president has had that issue where people are kind of saying, well, what have you done as vice president? Eisenhower was asked about Nixon kind of relatively famously. He was asked, can you name anything that Richard Nixon has done? He said, give me a week and I might think of something.
Very good.
So that was quite quite damning on his own vice president. Nixon still became president, and then he was relatively consequential. He did have an impact. You can disagree on the impact.
He's not a crook.
Yeah, it's very, very hard for a vice president to do anything. She would have been kind of a very high profile senator, big fanfare when she ran for the presidency in 2020. Now that campaign didn't go anywhere, but she's a few weeks now to really define herself.
Lots of staffing issues, wasn't raising money, and they're saying she has staffing issues as well as a vice president. Some people seem to leave not long after.
Mm.
Now, because you're a sensible lad, you're talking about policies and things. That's not going to happen in this election race. It's going to be about the way she laughs, isn't it? And this is one of
everything
a
is
classic
in context.
Kamala.
My mother used to, she would give us a hard time sometimes, and she would say to us, I don't know what's wrong with you young people. You think you just fell out of a coconut tree? you exist in the context of all in which you live and what came before you.
She speaks a lot of guff.
Well, that's a story she tells about her mother that is kind of what she's defined as and very, very well known for. It's actually started weirdly playing very, very well for her with younger voters. People can look it up. They can see some of the stuff online. People have kind of this kind of dorky energy that she has in those situations.
Yeah.
People are kind of attaching themselves to it. And obviously there was a message within that. You're going to critique me for being a sensible fella again here, but the laugh thing, I mean, they said it about Hillary Clinton as well. It's what they're saying about Kamala Harris. Trump talks about her cackling.
Is it sexist?
It is sexist. Yeah, it's clearly sexist. It's coded. It is very, very sexist.
It's got a lovely laugh, actually.
Yeah, and look, she needs to use it though, because in 2016 they tried the, you know, when they go low, we go high thing. That does not work. She needs to get in front of an audience, but mainly a female audience, and say, look, this is what they do to us. They're talking about my
laugh. She's a lawyer. She needs to use that.
She's a good debater. She's a good communicator.
Who's her VP? Josh Shapiro? In 10 seconds.
Probably, yeah, because Pennsylvania, they need Pennsylvania. It will be an older white male governor. There are four or five of them. It'll be somebody with those characteristics.
Pennsylvania. I mean, he has to.
And they need Pennsylvania.
They need
to win
that. Lorcan 9, thank you so much. I wonder who's going to have the last laugh. Here we go. I was the first black woman vice president. Thank you, Joe Biden, for your service.
From the North, Tech Studio, followed by your message to 80889.